our eternal God. We thank Thee for that day by faith when every believing heart turned their eyes by Thy mercy and grace to Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank Thee, Lord, that in Him we saw all that was needed for our soul and found that every need was met, our sins pardoned and forgiven. We had peace with Thee. We had the promise and prospect of glory to come. We thank You for these things. And Lord, we pray that that same gift given to us will be granted to hearts in this house tonight. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Grant power to deliver and minister the Word, Thy truth. We pray that hearts tonight will be challenged and brought to know our Lord and our Savior. Hear and answer prayer. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give that power that is needed. And may Christ indeed be exalted in this house. We ask all these things in the name of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I wish to leave with you the words that are found there in verse 21, where Peter turns to Simon and he says to him in that 21st verse, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You will know, of course, that the heart is vitally important. Our heart, if there's something wrong with it, will lead to great problems and difficulties for the body. The heart is vital. That is true in so many other things. We have an expression, the heart of the matter, and that can refer to a whole lot of things. Sometimes it refers to some argument, and if we find some corruption, some falsehood in the heart of an argument, well, we know the whole thing's corrupt. Sometimes in a tree, the heart of the tree is corrupt. And it isn't long before something dramatic happens. A wind comes, breaks the tree down, and we can see that rottenness inside. And we know full well it couldn't withstand the wind because the heart was rotten. But when the Bible speaks of the heart here, it is not speaking, of course, about the flesh and blood, the muscle that lies within our body, but rather it's speaking about our innermost being. And Peter, when he is brought into contact with this man called Simon, he had some kind of profession of faith earlier on. As we read, he was a sorcerer. He saw the miracles that Philip the evangelist did. However, even though he had professed, something was still not right in him. Because when he saw the gift of the Holy Spirit given by the hands of Peter and John to the people, he thought he could buy this. And he could purchase it with money. And that was an indication that in his heart, in his being, he didn't have a right understanding of the truth of the Bible and even the gospel itself. And Peter turns to him and says, "Your money perish with you. You have no part nor lot in this matter." If you've come tonight thinking that somehow, some way, through something that you will do, your heart will be put right with God, we have to say to you, with the words of Peter here, "Thy heart is not right. You have no part nor lot in this matter." When we speak about the gospel of redeeming grace, and we speak about the Lord Jesus, and coming to know Him as Savior, you can't inherit that through anything that you can do. You can't purchase it. You can't work your way for it. No. This is something which God gives to the soul, gives to the heart. And we therefore tonight are going to speak about the heart. While we look at this man's heart And there are some things to be noticed about it. I do want you to look in your heart. And tonight I want you to have the Word of God come as a searchlight upon your soul to show you what kind of heart you really have. Is your heart right in the sight of God? Those in this meeting who are not saved, it is my prayer that you will come to understand, in light of the Word of God, thine heart is not right. And we want to show you what can be done about that in order that your heart may be put right. Will you notice what Peter here says in this passage? Because he perceives something. Look at verse 23. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And that is why he said there to Simon, thine heart is not right. Peter here was given by God a spiritual perception to see that in the heart of this man, something was not right. Now many people may say of an individual, so-and-so has a good heart. I suppose many times we know what they mean. They're individuals we meet very often, and on a human level, in regard to their acts of kindness, we can say, in that sense, they've a good heart. But that's not what the Bible is talking about here. It's talking about the spiritual condition of the heart. And when we start to look at the heart being right before God, then we cannot apply human understanding to that. What we need is spiritual perception. And that perception can only be given from the Word of God, from God's truth. Don't be content with what any person may say about your heart. Don't be content with the assumptions that other people can make about you. Be content only with this. What does God say about my heart? Because that's the vital thing. That's the vital thing. You see, that's the part of us that God is most intently interested in. You remember, for instance, over in 1 Samuel, whenever Saul, the King Saul, that is, thought he had obeyed the commandment of the Lord in dealing with the Amalekites. Of course, he hadn't. He hadn't obeyed the voice of the Lord. And Samuel said to him these words, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? And he thought if he spared the animals, that he could give them to God, and that, as it were, would mean, well, though he was told to have everything slain, well, that would somehow compensate. And he would somehow be obeying God, even though he was disobeying God. And Samuel had to say to him, look, God hath not as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. And that's the point that Saul had been remiss in. He had not obeyed God. There were elements of God's command he had been plainly disobedient in. And God looked beyond even what Saul thought he was doing for God and looked right into his heart. You know, isn't it interesting, in the very next chapter, Samuel the prophet is taught that lesson himself in the choosing of David. Whenever he saw all the brothers of David, God said he had refused them, and he used these words, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's the point I wish to leave with you. God looks inside your very being. In Proverbs 21, we read these words, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Isn't that so true? We would love to present to God the things that we think we have done well. But you know what God says? God pondereth the heart. God pondereth the heart. Jeremiah 17. God says, I, the Lord, search the heart, the innermost being. Oh, there are some, and they will come and they'll say, well, do you know I've got an interest in church? That's good. It is good to a point. But even you're here in the house of God, how few are even interested in hearing the word of God these days. It's good to have an interest in the voice of the Lord. But listen, that is not goodness before God. And that is not righteousness before God. And that can never save your soul. Don't go thinking, well, I've done a certain amount of good deeds in my life. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, the Bible says. You see, God requires something more than your ideas of what are good deeds. God requires the heart, the soul. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ teach us that? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what God wants. Not something that you think is just partial. No, God wants our whole being. Let me give you an illustration of that. There are many husbands and wives here, I'm sure. Would you be content, dear husband, with your wife just ironing your clothes? Is that all you want from her, wife? Is all that you require from your husband just to come in and do the odd jobs? Maybe I'm cutting a few raw nerves here, I don't know. No, no. In marriage, we want the heart, don't we? The heart is everything. The heart that loves. That's what we want. What a cold marriage it is where there is no heart of love. Well, that's what God requires from us. The whole heart, the whole soul, everything. I'm reminded of the story of Lord Carson when he was Queen's Counsel in London. And he had a case before him. I don't know the full details of the case, except the story that is told in the book on his life. And there was a man before the court. He was seeking a divorce from his wife, but he wanted to be proved that he was right. And so he had all these documents sitting in front of him in the court as he was being examined. Carson was a very perceptive man. And, eventually, the man, having gone through all the documentation, no doubt showing what he had done for his wife, he then turned to this man, and Carson said to him, "Sir, could you tell me when you stopped loving your wife?" Of course, the man started to search through all these documents that he had, and Carson perceptively pointed out, "Sir, you will not find what I'm asking you in those documents. It'll be in your heart." You see, there's where the word of God comes. It comes right into our soul and examines us thoroughly. And how does it examine us? It examines us in the light of the righteousness of God. And once we're examined in the light of the righteousness of God, there for all to see is the discovery of a rottenness in our heart, a sinfulness, an attitude against God, a rebelliousness, a soul that is not right. You see, the heart is all important. Doesn't the word of God remind us of this, that if a man offend in one point, he offendeth in all? That's where we are. Don't let anyone come tonight and say, "I am not a sinner." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is how the Bible presents our heart. Don't look on your heart as you would like to see it. Let the Word of God describe what your heart is like. Notice how the heart is described. Peter says here, thine heart is not right. Going down the passage, you will see in verse 23, it is more descriptive again. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You see, the Bible has something to say about our heart. We have touched on it at the end of our first point, but let us think of it in a little more detail. What are we told in the book of Jeremiah about our heart? It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. In fact, it says, who can know it? Did you notice in our reading something important about this event regarding Simon? If you go back through the account, you will see that it says in verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And he wondered at the miracles that were done. You think carefully over that. Here's a man who made a kind of profession. The Bible says he believed, that is, he made this profession of belief. So much so that Philip the evangelist, that mighty man of God, who saw so much done, even here in Samaria and beyond, I have to say, even this man didn't see the true nature of the heart of Simon, the man of God. It was others, Peter especially, who came down from Jerusalem. And it was Peter who perceived under God the heart was not right. By the way, could I just stop and make a little observation here for God's people and for the work of God? I think the passage here says something about our labors for the Lord. Some people like to go it alone in the work of God. Well, we thank God for any work that is truly done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will say a little word of caution about those that think they can just go alone in the work of God and go out and do their own thing. It is good to have your work looked upon even by others of God's people. That's why I'm a Presbyterian, by the way, in the sense that I believe that there ought to be authority over the work of God, a spiritual authority, and an examination of the work. Why? Just for authority's sake? Oh no. Because that's the way God will have his work ruled. So that other eyes, as it were, may look upon that work. And you will discover that far from others being authoritarian, you will find out very quickly that you as a worker in the things of Jesus Christ really know so little. And you'll be glad for the help of others that oftentimes they can see things that you didn't see. A little word of caution for us in the work of God. But could I point out this to you who are not saved? You could sit under the man of God, and the man of God not even see the true condition of your heart. That's how wicked, deceptive the heart can be. The Bible here is showing us this. Thine heart, Simon's heart, this man who professed to believe, it was not right. And he was in the bond of iniquity. What a terrible thing the heart is. What an example of how deceptive and hard the heart can be. J.C. Ryle, speaking here on this text, he described the heart as hard, cold, barren, dead. Those are all biblical descriptions. You go up to North Antrim, Giant's Causeway. I don't know, but I'm sure many of you have been there. And you see that basalt rock and the hexagon shapes of the rock. Think of this. The waves have rolled over those rocks for centuries. Millennium. And how little has been worn away. Still, you can see the basic shape there. Is that not a description of the heart? You have sat perhaps as an unsaved person under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Wave after wave has rolled over your soul. Christ has been presented. The claims of the gospel have been made known to you, but still you have no heart and no feeling toward Jesus Christ and His gospel. Still your heart is hard. Does that not illustrate to you that the Bible is absolutely right when it describes your heart as being in the bond of iniquity? Let me put it to you like this. If it were possible, and it is not, but if it were possible for you even to be in heaven as you are, and I stress it is not, you must be born again. Your heart in heaven could never participate in all that goes on there. I remember in a meeting in Plymouth, I was asked to come and speak to a group of people in a home whenever I was in the work down in Tavistock. After I'd finished, I was speaking on heaven. And there was a young man there. And after the meeting, there were opportunities given for some questions, and I sought to answer them as best as I could, but he piped up and he said, "Well, it does sound to me as if heaven is going to be a very boring place." I had to turn to that man and said, "Why do you say that?" "It is simply because your heart is not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If you truly knew the Lord, heaven would be a place you would look forward to, for you would look forward to singing the great song of the Lamb, that great song where we sing of Jesus Christ and His blood that has washed us and loosed us from our sin. I'm trying to show you tonight the kind of heart that you have. It is a heart unfit for heaven. Unfit." There's an illustration of that in the book of 2 Samuel. It revolves around a man called Nabal. I'm sure you've heard of him. And of course, it was in the time of David. And in 2 Samuel, this man, of course, didn't want to give up any of his sheep or give anything towards David for food for his army. And, well, David decided, because of all the good that they had done for this man, well, he was going to requite it. And do you know, as you examine those passages in relation to that man, you will discover, in 1 Samuel it is, I think it's in chapter 25, it says concerning the man that his wife, Abigail, she decided to give gifts to David because she realized her husband was not right. Well, Nabal made merry, but then the next day, whenever he realized what his wife had done, listen to what the Bible says concerning that man. It says that it came to pass in the morning, verse 37 of 1 Samuel 25,
When the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And what that means is this. The very act of Abigail giving gifts to David in kindness caused his heart to be a heart of stone. The Bible tells us, of course, he died. Do you know what that illustrates? That illustrates the heart of sin. It cannot even abide the praises of God, or to God, in glory of his people. That's why heaven's no place for you as you are. For your heart is not right. The heart must be changed. What is the requirement? Notice what Peter says here in this portion to this man. He says here in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." You'll read the passage, you'll find that Simon said, "Pray for me." Of course, Simon, Peter said to him, "You pray. You pray. I can pray for your soul." Many friends, I'm sure, around you who know the Lord Jesus Christ will pray for you. But I want to tell you this. Until you pray, and until you repent, your heart will not be changed. It will not be changed. Oh, sinner in this meeting, God in Christ has given the remedy for our soul. And the remedy is Christ and his forgiveness. Peter mentions forgiveness here. On what basis does God forgive? He forgives through the merits of Jesus Christ and his finished work upon the cross. We preach Christ crucified tonight. We preach the way of salvation through Christ and his atonement that he made upon Calvary's cross. And that's the only way your heart can be made right. The new nature, the new man being brought to pass in your soul. Oh, tonight, you can pray. You can repent of sin. You can turn to Jesus Christ. And then you will find forgiveness. And then you will find the new heart. The heart that is right before God. Sinner in this house, if you don't know Jesus Christ, will you get to the cross, get to Christ this evening? Come tonight. Don't wait any longer. Thine heart is not right, but your heart may be got right through Jesus Christ. Come. Pray. Repent and pray that you may be forgiven. And God has promised to do something, and it's this. He's promised to hear your prayer. He turns away none who cry unto him. But when you cry unto him, when you repent of sin, God has promised to save. Will you get to Jesus Christ tonight? May the Lord help you to come. May God bless his word to each of our hearts and souls.